Hippocrates would not have approved of lame excuses.
And I promise to begin exploiting my family before the end of the day.
Nice suit.
Thank you.
Very good. You get a gold star.
Open. You are listening to Treklogic's listening post that goes with Treklogic 190 and a bunch of others before that. First up is Ben.
And this one is from Takiran Gollum. Jinky's jaded journeyman justly jeering at jaunty jesters, or critics, if you will. It is I, the Takiran Gollum, a model employee. Not necessarily a real employee, but a realistic facsimile with an aesthetic distance. From an aesthetic distance. What company did we make him a model for?
No, he's a model of a person. You know, he's a statue, a golem.
I just wanted to let you all know that my journey towards embracing TOS has turned a corner. I've started introducing my wife and child to the show that started it all. Originally, I was going to show Little Tack TNG first, since that was my first introduction, and it's important that he learns which captain is the superior officer. Aren't all captains a superior officer?
Well, they're technically all equal, because they're captains.
However, I've noticed the brighter colors held his interest more, and I haven't seen many of them since my own childhood. Most recently, we watched Space Seed and, as an encore, Plato's Stepchildren, a classic double feature. You know what they say, come for the cons, stay for the additional 51 minutes of torture to witness an historic kiss that's more impressive in principle.
That's exactly, I believe that is what they say.
Yep, but speaking of finding youthfulness in old things, rascals.
Right.
Oh, sure, when Picard is aged back 50 years, everyone loses their minds. But when I'm aged back 200, people don't even notice. It's all get off the transporter this, come on, we have to use a transporter that, and my God, were you there all night? How about I beam you to your room, okay? Jeez, I was having an existential crisis. Luckily, the next transport cleared it up. I wouldn't want to go through statue puberty again. Anyway, I think I'm with you guys on this. In some ways, I like it, and other ways, it's annoying. Its ridiculous premise leaves us with a bunch of rugrats acting like adults to the best of their abilities. And this should be a formula for hilarity. Except everyone knows who they are and are trying to treat them like adults, so it's just the visual gag of having Picard swapped out for a mini-me with hair. We're just hit with these mature kids in an adult situation that aren't silly enough to be funny and not tragic enough to be serious. Good point.
Yep.
And then we have the Keiko Miles scene to unpack. Oh boy. This is one of those confusing issues where a sci-fi concept can possibly lead you to question certain cultural norms, but it has no real-world application unless they were attempting to normalize something, and I'm going to say no, they're not.
Right.
It's about when you're resigned to it being a bad episode that it starts to turn around. I'd argue that the key to the humor and fun of this kind of episode is the adults not knowing who the kids really are. Because kids being treated like adults is not funny on SNL. Except not funny, but whatever SNL appeal is. I agree. My point is, if little Picard was shooed away because of Picard's standing rule against children on the bridge, that would be funny.
Yes. Ah, yes, it would.
By the way, it occurred to me a reason why the number one father line didn't get additional scrutiny. There's a scene in DS9 where a female Ferengi in drag comes onto Quark. Instead of being disgusted, he was just disinterested. Could it be that Ferengi society is actually accepting of same-sex relationships? Does that make any sense in relation to the way they treat women? I mean, their sexism does seem designed to marginalize women into their marital role. Are they like Romans and gay lovers are considered a separate issue from the family unit? I could see that because a female would be property and then another male would be has more potential of being an equal.
It could also just be a money relationship, because that's all they care about.
Yes. Anyway, I feel sorry for Carrie on this. As a kid, I thought RVN was a real thing. Thankfully, I forgot all about it by the time I started learning the real thing. I imagine writer-consultant conversation was like this. Hey, I have a quick question. What's that one DNA code thing that turns children into adults? Scientific consultant. Oh, what, like RVN? Look, it's a lot more complicated than, where'd he go? Damn it, not again.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes.
And finally, I wanted to let you know that I've seen Star Trek Beyond 30 Days Fashionably Late. All I will say is that my hatred of the prior two movies is as notorious as it is critical, and I found myself enjoying this one. I haven't seen it.
Well, you'll need to see it before we review it someday, but you've got time.
Anyway, I must go now. Time to queue up the next two episodes, Balance of Terror and Spock's Brain.
Wow! So he's going like high and low, like some kind of brain mash.
Maybe so that it evens out and becomes medium.
Right.
It's the only thing I can think of.
So then I guess we need to figure out, well, we'll know once we reviewed all of the episodes, if there are enough that the whole series balances out.
Yes.
You could cancel every good episode with a bad episode, or if you end up with more bad episodes than good.
Well, that would be the animated series.
Well, the animated series just is to cancel out anything. That's like that's like a trump card.
It's negative space.
It's Trek Animatter.
Yes.
Is there something that tracks that on our tracking program that I cannot remember the name of currently? Where it has like our Betazoid ranking and things like that?
Well, you would just have to look up the ratings and see how many, like, if we gave one a 10, did we give one a 0? If we gave 2 a 9, did we give 2 a 1? Stuff like that.
Wouldn't we just need to figure out if it equals out to 5?
Kind of, yeah. All right, up next is Carrie with our second one from Karen Golem. In case you guys haven't noticed, it's been a while since we've done a listening post, but we have finally gotten a whole bunch of feedback, so we're sticking them all in here.
It's also...
No!
It's also...
Nice try, Carrie. Hopefully her computer didn't reboot, but I'm giving that a strong possibility.
We heard you present.
What happened? Your computer reboot?
Yeah, so my computer said, hey, it looks like you're trying to, you know, record Technologic. Let me totally blue screen on you.
Whoa.
That's it's what like we figured.
Psychotic Clippy.
Wow. Because it was like you were getting ready to read. You said, and also, and then it was like, bloop, you just gone. I was like, wow, nice try, Carrie.
It's my computer. Hey, I also wanted to say how Mike is like really good at pronouncing to Karen Golem properly.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, after a while, after about the 1,000th time, it sticks.
Who says it that way?
That's how I used to say it at first.
That's how Mike says it.
That's what it says.
Isn't that also how the Holo Assistant says it?
Oh, Brian? He probably does. Yeah, if it's all spelled out, I'm sure he does.
Well, Mike has that problem with Odo, too. He says Otto.
And Data?
No, I don't say Data.
Because he hates Pulaski.
And Cure.
Sometimes it's Kyra.
Yeah.
Well, how about if I read this from To Karen Gold?
Yes.
Because
we've got a lot of feedback to get through.
Hello, symposiarchs of symphonic symphysis. It is I, the Takaran Golem, indomitable supreme grand leader of the Stonemen settlement of Upper East Side, West Division, in room 1386. There's been some restructuring going on in my quarters. It all started when I was randomly selected, out of a pool of 3.5 quadrillion no less, to go on a vacation and learn about timeshares. Being in the business of time travel myself, I felt it would behoove me to learn as much as I can. So I sat down with several self-identified honest Ferengi businessmen. After 72 hours of nonstop presentations, they threw me out. I guess they realized I didn't have any money. Yeah, although they can't be that good of Ferengi businessmen if it took them 72 hours to realize you didn't have any money.
Well, it's also possible that they thought he was dead.
And so they were just using it as a practice.
Right.
we're gonna perfect our pitch.
They thought he was a mannequin.
Right.
Well, how lucky it was that they remembered me and approached me later with a timeshare offer that I couldn't refuse. My own quarters. Well, one thing led to another. Contracts were signed, then renegotiated. Borders were drawn. Territories were subdivided. Fine print was discovered, and I ended up trading 95% ownership for progressively better titles. At what point do we tell them that Starfleet owns the ship?
I'm sure we'll have to get into that later.
The fact
that he got something out of it, the only one who ends up looking like a fool is Frankie.
Right.
Who didn't realize Starfleet officers don't own their rooms.
That's right. While everyone else must share 95% of the room throughout the year, I get my 5 all year round. My little kingdom includes an unobstructed view of the window, limited light switch privileges, 6 square inches of refrigerator space, a solitary painting that looks like a control panel, and once per week, forgiveness for using the bathroom. I don't use any of them, but I kept them as future bargaining chips. See what a great negotiator I am? But speaking of finding Ferengi where they shouldn't be, acquisition. I don't remember my exact thought process when I first watched it. It was toward the end of season 1, which was hit and miss with a little too much on the miss side of the equation. Of course, it was season 1, so that's to be expected.
I thought it was closer to hot and mess.
And that happens all within like one episode even, not just a season.
Right.
I think part of the problem, besides the continuity, is a blend of oversaturation and regression, and it's all DS9's fault, even though they did a good job. It's complicated. Basically, DS9 developed their culture so that they became fun and funny. DS9 used the Ferengi a ton, cementing them as a major presence in the franchise. But they were able to get away with it by developing each Ferengi as a nuanced variant of the basic template. When you get to the Magnificent Ferengi, they featured 7 Ferengi, each with distinct personalities. But again, we had a ton of Ferengi episodes, and when Voyager featured a trio of Ferengi antagonists in season 7, it was too soon, and they were basically template Ferengi. Skip ahead to season 1 Enterprise, and we get 4 basic template Ferengi. To their credit, they tried to distinguish them, but it felt more like varying degrees of template Ferengi, 100%, 90%, 88%, and 70% respectively.
I agree with those calculations. That is how it seems to parse out.
Yes. So 70 might be a little too high. You might be like 64, yeah, 66.
For the guy that was assigned to do all the grunt work.
Yeah. But the episode is not without merit. The beginning portion with the subtitled Ferengi was a cool artistic choice. One that was undercut by fixing the translators within seconds, rendering it pointless. Did no one realize the story potential of 2 opposing groups that can't speak to each other? Neither knowing what the other is saying or doing while an omniscient audience watch? We'll call it the Carrie experience.
Wait, why do I feel like I've been in that?
Well, you don't know that I subtitle everything. Just don't look down.
The one where a human and a lizard alien crash. It's a movie.
Yeah, it's an excellent movie.
What's it called?
Enemy Mine.
Yep.
Enemy Mine.
So they could have done that with the Ferengi.
They could have.
And it would be Ferengi Mine, and that would be bad.
Yeah, that's true. Because that's more like a rom-com.
Yeah.
Especially when it has rom in it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Oh, actually, that made me think.
I thought the rom stood for romance. No, it stands for rom.
Did I mention that when we had done Rascals and I had mentioned that the girl who played Baby Guinan.
Yeah.
Baby Guinan.
Played a younger Whoopi Goldberg.
In Sister Act movie.
Yeah.
And in Sister Act, in the beginning of Sister Act, when she sees her boyfriend kill somebody, it's Rom.
Oh!
It's the act.
Wow.
It's Rom.
Hey, Mike's going to go watch that now just to watch Rom get killed.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that to me.
Okay, but.
You mentioned that to me when I was at your house.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Back to Karen Golem's letter. The backdoor reason that humans don't know who Ferengi are is okay. I mean, it's just they didn't mention their species. So it's not until they're seen on TNG that historians could go back and say, oh, that's who they were. Cross it off the list. Which is also the same reasoning for the Borg, come to think of it. There's a lot of Chris Columbus-style first context going on, huh? But it is funny and fun to see the crew try to outsmart them. Plus, it was cool to see the Electra Whip since it's a small piece of canon that fits in well. Well, I have got to go. The Ferengi are using their mineral rights to claim ownership of the Glitter Golem. Is there a small claims court on the ship? Tack out.
I say just let him claim it. It'll come back on its own.
P.S. Remember when this was a thing? P.P.S. Speaking of remembering things, I wanted to point out that Alaska and Canada will still be geographic areas even after government unification. Plus, there's probably intermediate tiers of government between global and local. P.P.P.S. Remember way back in your DS9 finale episode, you talked about the Cardassian city that was destroyed? You described it as Cardassia Disneyland? Every time you said that, I thought of this clip.
So there's a YouTube clip, but I don't know what it is. I didn't watch it before I pasted this in.
I know. I'm going to go, like, watch it now.
Go ahead and play it, Mike, so we could all hear it.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is great.
Shoot! I'll shoot.
Basically, the clip is the Three Stooges.
You know it. Well, and you know that's the Cardassia of Disneyland because it's Joe instead of Curly.
Yeah. And it's aliens on a ship that are trying to destroy Disneyland. And the Three Stooges are they outside their ship?
They're on like it. Yeah, on the outside redirecting the missiles.
Yeah.
That was amazing cinema.
All right. So, our next one is from Takarangalam. Kapla, mighty heroes. It is I, Takarin of the House of Golem. Honored was I to hear of your last journey. We reviewers of the great trek must stand together. Victory will be ours when we finally defeat those, anti-reviewers. Yeah, I'm going through this Klingon phase right now. Well, it's not me, but others in my peer group, and I'm just trying to fit in. It's kind of challenging keeping up with this fad.
Isn't that what happened to the doctor's kid?
Yes.
Yes! We're supposed to be abreast of all these ancient texts and customs, but if you're caught reading them, then it's a sign of weakness. We're supposed to be defeating more powerful enemies, but I can never tell if tricking them will count as clever or cowardly. And every time you don't tip enough, it's another fight to the death, usually ending it with several dulled, broken bat lefts lodged in my torso and back, before calling a truce. Speaking of people that don't belong in Klingon culture, House of Quark. What I like this episode is that it feels like the natural course of storytelling about how Quark goes up against a bunch of Klingons and wins. It's also awesome that we get an episode about a Ferengi besting Klingons, considering that we see just how easy it is to bully the Ferengi around. I mean,
yeah, just ask Mike.
Yes. Just last episode, we saw Odo and Kira easily bully Quark into committing a crime, not bribing him, not guilting him, not offering forgiveness for past offenses, just two people of authority walk in and play an intimidation game until he unwillingly agrees to commit online piracy of a government agency. Keiko was never a bad character, she just wasn't given the proper screen time to develop. I think this is because the writers didn't know how to write for a functional married couple and still be dark and gritty. Yeah, that's probably true.
That could be.
So they opted to only show us when they're in some sort of conflict and just imply that there are happy times off screen.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
I'm yes. Sure in that episode they literally implied happy times off screen. they always showed their relationship from Miles' perspective because he's a regular and he's supposed to be the everyman. It should also be noted that writer's room was probably mostly men, write what you know. So even when Keiko has reasonable vote motivations, we never spend enough time with her to develop them. This episode shows how the writers simply prefer to characterize her through Miles. And hooray, we have the fully regressed Rom that we love.
Hey, I disagree with write what you know, because otherwise we wouldn't have science fiction and fantasy.
Yes, but talking about television show writers that are just doing it, you know, weekly.
I think for that, the difference is when you're writing the fantastic parts of it, there isn't anyone to contradict you until you've been around long enough.
Right.
When you're trying to write about a woman in a marriage, there are many people that can contradict you if you get it wrong.
So this episode is fun. Not particularly deep, but an enjoyable romp with the Klingons getting to be the butt of most of the jokes. Well, I must go on some honorable quest to regain my honor from some less honorable foe who is just honorable enough to battle, but not quite enough to be allies. I think that's how it works. Never mind, being Klingon is too confusing. I'm filing off these ridges in the morning. Tech on.
I think that's exactly how it works. Yes. This one is from Matthias. Hey, guys and gals. First, I want to thank you for thinking that I make a great drunken Klingon. Did you know how many times we had, how many tries we had until we had a presentable opening? It was about five or six. My throat was sore after the third time already, but we had a great time doing the intro. Unfortunately, Renee seems to have deleted all the bloopers. It would have been great if she could have included them. Now to a different subject. Okay, we have established that Mirror Universe people can say I love you because can't say I love you because those words are not in their vocabulary. But Chris should know what I love you means in German. It's so often used in movies and TV shows, in German at least, that I thought it would be common knowledge by now. Of course, it's... Chris?
Hold on, I wasn't following on the actual...
Just say I love you in German.
Ich liebe dich.
No, I didn't have the caps lock button active. In Germany, that's exactly what it said. So,
yeah. Ich liebe dich. Kind of like, schnell.
Right.
No, I didn't have the caps lock button active. In Germany, every word is screamed. That's why German sounds so much like Klingon. Well, not really. I think Japanese sounds more like Klingon. At least the mating ritual is similar. We bite our women on a regular basis. It's a sign of affection.
Well, hey, hold on about Japan. They also scream all the time. Any Japanese store and they scream at you.
Wow.
Like kind of like a welcome thing.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed, like in some cases, it's not supposed to be understood. So sometimes it's gibberish words.
Wow.
It's, yeah, that's kind of weird. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's really weird.
Or maybe.
And by the way, I also think that was societal TMI.
What?
Or maybe it's the reason for me not being married yet. Last but not least, I wanted to say that due to work issues, I was not able to write any feedback as of late, but I'm still listening and loving it. You are the best at what you do. You bring a smile to my face every time I listen to you. Please keep them coming. Renee, Steve, Colin, and I were honored to do an April Fool's episode. Should you ever want us to do another, just write. But please, a little more in advance. Last time was a little tough to manage. That's all I wanted to say so far. Have a nice week, and I'm looking forward to your next review. Yours, Matthias. P.S. I won't be coming to Texas this year either. I wanted to come in October, but when they announced that there would be a Star Trek convention in Birmingham from the 7th to the 9th of October, you can imagine where I'll be. Maybe I can record some interviews with some of the actors.
You'll be in Alabama?
No.
There's probably more than one Birmingham. I'm guessing.
They're at a great Star Trek convention in Birmingham, Alabama.
Probably like the least likely place to have Star Trek ever.
Yeah. Diversity. What's that?
Nice, guys. Nice. Oh.
Hey, we're in Texas, so.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he means England.
Yes.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's what he means as well. Hey, this one's from Marty. Hi. I know, I think this is a new one, a new writer.
Yeah, it could be. I think so.
Hi, Marty. He said hi, so I'm saying hi back.
Right.
Okay. I used to think the same thing about why Keiko was so clueless. But knowing now how easy it is to see only what you want to see, how easy it is for your brain to simply leave out inconvenient stuff, I'd now say the writing for Keiko isn't that bad. She still had the same mind, just a slightly different body, and a body she grew up with so it would feel perfectly fine to her. Everyone was treating her mostly the same, so it would take a serious jolt like her child not recognizing her to make her see the reality of the situation for the first time. Later, Marty.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, they were... And it's funny because they were kind of going out of their way to treat these kids as like the adults that they actually are.
Right.
You could see on their faces that it was difficult for them to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Riker almost rolling his eyes.
Yes.
Okay, but she's like, has to look up very high to O'Brien.
Well, he was still taller than her before, though.
Yeah.
Right? So she was still looking up at him. It's just a little bit more. All right. Our next one is from Cindy. Hey, Relativity crew. The Rascals is one of my favorite episodes because the kids were so good as the adult characters. I can buy the Ferengi overpowering a starship. They can be cheats. To answer your question about the Ferengi headwear, it serves no purpose other than for makeup. It's used to hide the back of the head prosthetic. For the longest time, you could only see the whole head of Quark. To answer Ben's trivia question, Damon Bach was the same Ferengi who threatened Picard.
Are you slowing down?
No, I was about to have a programmed sneeze, but I rerouted it. Do another mic.
I thought it was like a cell phone there.
To answer Ben's question, Damon Bach was the same Ferengi who threatened Picard. He returns again in the name of vengeance. Acquisition. If they had to be there, the casting couldn't get any better. Trivia, Clint Howard is Ron Howard's brother, and their father, Rance Howard, recently appeared in the X-Files event series. Not to be outshone, Ron Howard's daughter, Bryce Dallas Howard, was in the latest Jurassic Park. So, Patrick Stewart has a role in Spark, the latest movie I worked on. Don't miss it when it comes out later this year.
Cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's an animated movie.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, definitely.
It's about a teenage monkey.
Named Spark.
And it's played by
Patrick Stewart. No. The Spark is a teenage monkey and he's got some other animal friends and they're trying to take back a planet.
Okay, so it's just your normal teenager gets chosen to save the world, just that it's a monkey.
Basically, yes. Yeah, usually that's anime.
Or is it an ape?
Oh, Planet of the Apes.
I don't think it's Planet of the Apes. I mean, he's got a friend who's a warthog and a friend who's a fox.
Nice.
Hakuna Matata.
That's kind of cool.
The next is from Plimbic.
Ooh, cool.
Hello. This might be old news, but when reviewing Plato's Stepchildren, you guys were wondering what the... Rekex coax thing was. It's actually a very old Greek onomatopoeia for the sound of frogs. It's from The Frogs by Aristophanes. What's really interesting is that in certain parts of Europe, Kermit the Frog is renamed Brekkie. If you Google Brekkie, Kermit is the first thing you see.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Very cool, and it just shows our lack of classical education.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
But I always love learning new things, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That means you can survive another day.
Yay. Yeah, that's Carrie's rules.
Oh.
Yeah. As long as you learn something new.
What have you learned today? Nothing?
You learn something new every day. You need to.
Or you, as Carrie likes to say, you sleep with the triples.
You get transferred to a Klingon starship?
No, that's Carrie sends them.
Our next one is from Colin. Hey, Colin!
All right.
Colin says, greetings one and all. For the past 18 months or so, I've spent a considerable amount of time under the care of the health service, attending outpatient appointments, clinics, and various residential stays in hospital. This is why my podcast participation has dwindled to almost nothing. But during all this, I have had the pleasure of being entertained by your good selves, and your enthusiasm and humor has been a great source of pleasure and distraction to me. I mean, hospitals and waiting rooms can be unbelievably boring, as I'm sure you're aware.
I know Ben's aware.
Oh, yes. quite very much.
So hospitals, we've had our own little adventures.
Yes.
Although giggling and inanely smiling gets you... Huh?
But...
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were just calling her names.
No.
I know. Thanks. But your cast has been a great outlet and escape from all that. Although giggling and inanely smiling gets you some funny looks at times.
Especially although at the hospital.
Yeah, yeah, especially at the hospital. They
hey,
like,
it might get you in quicker.
No, I think it's like, oh, hey, that guy is pretty well drugged up.
Yeah, we can wait another 3 hours to see him because he's on some happy stuff. Although I did get one nurse to start listening to podcasts. Woohoo, Colin, bringing him over.
Nice.
Anyway, I just wanted to say thanks for doing what you do. I know that podcasting is something we do because we enjoy it. Certainly isn't for the money. And I hope to now start contributing feedback and so forth once more. Live long and podcast.
All right.
Yeah, I am so glad to hear that, Colin. We have missed you terribly.
Yeah,
it's better, Colin.
To let you guys know, both Colin and Cindy are original listeners.
Yes.
Like, that's they were right. The first two people that ever, like, contacted us. Because before that, we thought we were just talking to ourselves.
Yes, we did. Okay, and our last one is from Cindy again. Hi, guys. Great review, as always. One should always expect Quark to have romance with the female other alien species. First a Cardassian, now a Klingon. Behind the scenes, the crew are nervous about the Ferengi and Klingon makeup rubbing off on each other. To answer Chris, there was just one Next Generation episode where a Ferengi scientist met a Klingon scientist. No lie, no joke. It was a sixth season episode, Suspicions.
Wow.
Anyway, both were not well respected by their respective governments, as you may well expect.
I remember that one.
From the Enterprise episode, Judgment, we learned Klingons were not always warriors, but they fully embraced their warrior ways after being contaminated with, gasp, human DNA.
We're such a bad influence.
That's what the Vulcans always said.
Yep.
Embrace your human DNA?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what said.
All right. Next up, iTunes reviews.
Oh, maybe I should go see if we have iTunes real fast.
None.
But hey, we got another 5 stars.
Just nothing written?
Nothing written.
Well, that's awesome.
So, Carrie, is your iTunes DOS and ASCII?
Yeah, she has to boot up a DOS box.
Yes, the star ratings are actually asterisks. Ooh, we got another 5 asterisk rating.
All right, well, just to let you know, we love feedback, and you can give us feedback by giving us a nice iTunes review, emailing us at feedback@treknologic.com. You can even email us voicemails. We love voicemails. You can tweet us at Treknologic. Oh, and for voicemails, don't forget, you know, you could just record on your iPhone or your Android. You could just click record and send it up to us. Very easy. You can find us on Facebook, and we have a Treknologic forum at treknologic.com, which I do not have access to.
Oh, because you need your password changed. I thought about that last time I was on there, but I forgot to do it.
So thank you for listening to our discussion of feedback. I know I'm missing all those space pictures and stuff.
Right.
Thanks for listening to our discussion of feedback. And until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Treknologic, love long and prosper. Thank you.